Hi, and welcome to episode 347 of No Crying in Baseball, the Just Call Me Optimist Patty episode. My name is Optimist Patty, and I'm here with my friend Potty Mouth. Hi, Potty Mouth.
Hey, does that make me pessimist Potty Mouth? Nah.
Maybe. It depends how you responded to the Athletics Hopometer quiz.
Yeah, I feel kind of lame that I didn't. I feel like I should have, but I'm very impressed that you made the final cut. You made the 40 man.
Yeah, so here's how. So 22,000 people responded to this survey about, you know, who's your team and how optimistic are you? Or are you optimistic, yes or no? And then tell us more. And I got quoted in the darn Athletic. So if you read that article on the Hopometer under the Baltimore Orioles, I am Optimist Patty. I'm so excited.
Fantastic. You have a lot of good reason for your optimism, too. But you said it in a very succinct way. I don't want to, like, do any spoiler alerts for anybody.
Yeah.
Patty has a way with words, but you don't have to use a lot of them to get your point across.
Yeah. The fact that I noted that I was terrified to be optimistic. Yes. I shared it with my family and they said, yes, this comes from years growing up as a Cleveland baseball fan.
That's fair.
You know, to temper your optimism at all times.
That's fair.
But I was pretty excited. It came out a few days ago and I just didn't flip through it until now. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right. A few minutes of the Athletic fame.
Yeah.
And we are getting ready for, just being optimistic right now, your timing is amazing. The season is about to start. So this is our last recording before the season. Well, I guess the season already started in Korea, but if you don't count that, then this is our last recording before every team starts playing like baseball that counts in front of each other this week.
And I have to count this Thursday as opening day, or hopening day as we started to call it, because I didn't ask for last week's fake opening day off, and I always ask for at least part of opening day off. So this year I had asked for two, because we have tickets for the Nats home opener, which is the following Monday, but I definitely need a half day off to watch, other opening day games Thursday afternoon. So I actually did share the Nick Castellanos and Fernando Tatis ad for here's what you show your boss to get the day off. And I did have my leave approved. So it was.
You showed that to your boss?
I did.
That is so great. I could not get away with that. Actually, that's not true. I could. My boss is actually a Nationals fan. So technically, it would work for me, but luckily our Nats home opener is the last day of spring break, so I have it off anyway. So that's
both of them off.
Situation. Yeah, except for this Thursday, I will be in Canada with the family, with Dad and Mr. Potty Mouth and my stepmom, and it'll be cold. So I will not be thinking about, I'll be thinking about spring and baseball.
You'll be thinking about baseball every moment.
Yeah. And we will be trying to find a bar to find baseball in. I'm sure we can see it somewhere.
I mean, at least 3 out of 4 of you are diehard Red Sox fans. I don't know how your fourth member is as far as that's concerned, but I know she's a sports fan.
Yeah, yeah. No, 4 out of 4. Absolutely.
You'll find 100%. A spot.
100%. It'll work.
Yeah.
We'll be watching sports all the time, too, because, there's the basketball thing, and then hockey's popular up there, although, me wearing a Bruins shirt in Montreal probably isn't the best idea, but, you got to rep no matter
where. Sure you do. Sure you do. So there's all kinds of cross training going on. Did you do brackets? Yeah. We do brackets at work.
Oh.
No money exchanges hands. It's just for bragging rights and, dinner with no one at no place. Not underwritten by anyone, but just a total bragging rights. And so it's big fun.
Wow.
And a lot of people on staff are doing it. But it's the person who runs it doesn't use any of the tools that are available online, like, how you could automate it with ESPN and like set up your group and all of that. Nope. Mm-hmm. We do it on paper with pens and we hand the paper over. And so no one knows how they rate until the person who organizes it actually just sends an email out saying, here's the standings.
That's wild.
So I can, right now, my men's bracket, I'm like 75%, right? I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing fine.
That's good compared to many for a men's bracket at this point.
But I don't know what that means. That could be dead last. Who knows? Who knows?
Did you win something last year? Did you win women's or something?
I won the whole thing a couple years ago. I don't think, did I win women's last year? I definitely didn't win men's last year. But my department wins a lot. So we have, you think the rec department would be like the winners, but they're not actually.
Right.
So I got to just say, housing and community development just has a good track record. Who knew?
But, brackets get so busted. So people who think too much, you got to think just the right
amount. Are you implying that my coworkers don't think too much?
No, that they do. Well, I guess it depends on which department you're talking about.
You got nothing on
meanwhile,
this.
Yeah, yeah. So I am not doing any brackets whatsoever. The person who did the bracket at my job, who actually did use one of those online things, is no longer there. And nobody picked up the slack.
Oh,
so,
no.
So I'm just going to have to, you know, settle in for my continuous admiration of the Boston Celtics as they make their drive for the play. Well, they're clinched. They're clinched in the playoffs. And actually, so when we last left you, dear listeners, I was about to see my first Celtics game, honestly, at Wizards. And it was great. And the Celtics creamed them. And there were so many, there were way, especially afterwards, everybody on the street was wearing green. And yes, it was St. Patrick's Day or St. Patty's Day. Excuse me. Sorry. You know, my co-host's day. but despite that, there was just there were so many more Celtics jerseys walking around outside afterwards than Wizards. I was a little bit blown away.
I love the anthropomorphized. Wow. I didn't even say that right. The jersey because the jerseys were walking around. That's super.
Yes. Yeah. Totally were.
Anthropomorphized.
I saw and I appreciated seeing the Larry Bird jerseys and stuff like that. But I think I want to see more basketball. So I'm not going to, you know, give up my love for baseball as number one. But like things I learned at my first basketball game. Number one, so many more opportunities for screaming for points. Like so many.
Like
there's
all
always
the time.
Points. Yes, there's points happening. Especially when, I mean, the Celtics had like 80 points in the first half or something crazy. Like there were a lot of points happening a lot of fast. And so I was all excited about that. The other good thing about cheering for points is sometimes in baseball, I'm kind of like, oh, it's getting late enough points already. Like it's going to keep getting later and later if y'all keep doing these points. But in basketball, it doesn't really matter. Like it's the, you know, you get timers and then the game's over. And there's those timeout kind of wild card things. But that makes it feel actually like a minor league baseball game because during those timeouts, all sorts of fun games happen on the court that you don't see, like, say, at Fenway Park or at Nats Park, but you do see in Bowie, like, or at, you know, running the pizza thing at
Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts. So that's fun. My last thing I think that I learned at the basketball game, I was a little nervous because the Celtics had just clinched their playoff spot like the day before we saw them. So I thought, fuck, I'm not going to see anybody. Like, they're just going to rest everybody. But they didn't. They played Jason Tatum, which I was super excited about, but mostly Drew Holiday, who I spoke about previously on episode 330. And I'm going to say more about in our Patreon bit that we're going to record today. So, you know, listen up later if you want to hear my bit on Drew Holiday. We will give you information on how to join us on Patreon.
Hey,
we have special stuff.
So you noted that the Celtics, you know, creamed the Wizards, which made me think of what I'm drinking. Cream ales apparently are a thing again. I mean, I was always partial to Genesee cream ale growing up because the cans were green and white. Those are my high school colors. But I went to get, you know, a little craft beer the other day at the local place that only has like maybe 15 different kinds of beer. And at least two of them were cream ales. So I came home with one with a very descriptive name of Cream with a picture of a cow on it. And it's from Jailbreak, which is one of our local breweries. And it's really delicious. I'm very happy to have it.
Oh, that's awesome.
What are you drinking?
Text support because my beer is very low. It is from Treehouse Brewery, which was on our way driving up here to Massachusetts. And it is a Helles, and I'm totally spacing on the name, but they had like only one Helles. And here comes Mr. Potty Mouth getting my glass for a refill. Could you bring the can back when you come back, please? Thank you very much. All right. So I will report back to the class on what the beer is actually called.
On today's show, we've got fun with the Mets. We've got Blake, but not yet Jordan. We've got Peter Angelos, the pros and cons list. We've got the police blotter all over the place, featuring breaches of morality, etiquette, and possibly friendship. We've got our fantasy boyfriend baseball league lineups. We've got holiday questions. And we've got international baseball.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. So on our way up, we stopped at a mall in New Jersey and went into a sports store in the mall in New Jersey, as one does when they're waiting for their vehicle to charge outside and you need to kill some time. And there were there was so much Met stuff. There was a lot of Yankee stuff, but I just didn't really pay attention to it. There was a lot of Met stuff. And I said jokingly to Mr. Potty Mouth, you know, I think I'm going to be a Mets fan. And then I think he was going to leave me in New Jersey. He was not very happy with this. But I feel like I'm kind of learning to love the Mets a little bit. I love that the hapless Met sort of identity. You know, I can very much relate to that, that team that's not quite ever going to live up to your expectations. But I'm kind of excited about their team for this year. And my Mets pick, I really did not think was going to make it to opening day. I was like 99% sure that this was just one of my baseball boyfriend picks that was, you know, just not premature, but just wrong. But I just like the guy, Zach Short. And he's in. He ended up having a great spring training. I'm very sorry, but, and actually, it's not your current guy. Your last year's guy, Mark Vientos, he's out to make room for Zach Short, sort of. But there was a lot of sort of last minute shakeup with the Mets. Zach Short has always been known for his defense, but hasn't really been producing enough to be solid. He's got some pretty bad season stats going into this. But over spring training, he had, thank you very much, Mr. Potty Mouth, he had a 278 average with 839 OPS. And I think what was sort of like the icing on the cake is that he got a grand slam a couple of days ago against his old team, the Tigers. Now, I invite everybody to look at pictures of Zach Short. He looks like a lost teenager. He's adorable. He's just got this kind of puppy dog about him. I think he just needs a big hug and a big home and maybe some chicken soup or something, and he will do fine this season. I'm excited for him.
Okay, so I got two things. One is, if you're new to the show, that there was a drinking game opportunity because Potty Mouth used the word adorable in a sports context, which I still stand by as not okay. So it's a drinking opportunity. And also, I'm wondering if you wanted to get like a jersey that says Short on the back, or if that would just be redundant.
Yeah. That's a very good one. That would be adorable. I wonder if I could talk Mr. Potty Mouth into
it. You like, get Short and beer and I get wisdom.
There we go.
And burger.
Right. Oh man, so many opportunities. Like, and we put them all together, we really just have like a party right there.
Sure.
What else do you need? Meanwhile, I'm drinking beer thanks to Mr. Potty Mouth, who brought me out, and I can't believe I couldn't remember the name of this beer. It's a lovely can for those of you who could see it, which would be Patty. It's called a Wanderer.
Ah.
So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. Other cuts from the Mets include a bunch of, they're all former baseball picks of ours, boyfriends. Tomas Nito, I had picked before. Jose Iglesias, who I thought was not going to be coming back because he had his reggaeton career, but apparently tried to come back and then didn't. G-Man Choi, who I think you picked.
Oh, yeah.
At some point. And Luke Voit, did either of us pick him?
We talked about his whole like jersey situation when he was briefly on the Nats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wasn't super enthusiastic about that. Yeah. That was a rough thing for him. Well, now he's even worse off. So I'm excited that Zach Short made the team, but he's not making my team, which is what we're going to announce later, because basically I had already figured it out by the time I saw the news. So Fantasy Baseball League friends, please, please don't pick. Like, why would you want to pick him? He's really iffy, and I could really use him later in the game if some of my guys get injured. So
you just turned into a team owner at arbitration. Yes. It's like, you're great, unless we're negotiating your salary, in which case, yeah, your play's just kind of iffy.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's awful.
But that you did it. Awful. You exactly did that. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's where it comes from. All right. So also in the Mets, though, is J.D. Martinez, who I very much appreciate from his Red Sox days. And his, like, I don't know, press conference thing when he went on to the Mets said that he's addicted to playoffs. Like, that's a good thing. And, oh, my God, so many riffs on him quitting his addiction and things like that with going on to the Mets. But I wish the best for J.D. Martinez. And a couple of other guys.
Wait, before you leave JD, he is starting in the minors. because he himself signed a minor league contract. That's where, and he said he's going to start at least at least 10 days. If you take that option, you have to be in the minors for at least 10 days. And I think it seems like he kind of wants to tune up. I don't think it was necessarily forced upon him. It may have been, but
interesting.
He's feeling a little rusty.
Okay. Well, you know, he didn't have any spring training.
That's why he's feeling a little rusty.
That's how these things work. A couple of guys on the Mets who I do love, though, also. A couple of Boricuas from Puerto Rico, Francisco Lindor and Edwin Diaz, are now also apparently joining Jose Iglesias on the music thing. And they are in a very cool video, which we will link, with Foreign Tech, who's a reggaeton artist, the song's called El Día de Mi Suerte, which is my lucky day, but the video is called 100%. That's it, 100%, 100%. It's filmed in a variety of different places, but the opening scene is at some random park in New York City where Francisco Lindor and Edwin Diaz just kind of went and hung out in the dugout kind of area. Like it's, you know, a pickup softball field kind of situation. And so for them, like, you know, people must have been walking by, seeing a couple cameras, what's going on? Hey, it's just a couple of the Mets just hanging out there with a reggaeton star and a comedian, a Puerto Rican comedian, just playing baseball. So pretty cool. Tech was actually born in New York. He is not Puerto Rican, despite the fact that this song is a real anthem to Puerto Rican baseball players, which is how Lindor and Diaz got involved with it. But he has Dominican roots, but born in New York City. And he said, being a Dominican kid, that he was getting balls pitched to him before he could even talk or run. And the highlight of his career, despite being a famous music artist, is that he was in MLB Celebrity Softball game last year, where he got 2 home runs to sort of make his dream complete, playing third base. He played travel ball all as a kid and sort of dreamed of being a famous baseball player someday. But then it didn't quite carry through in high school. He ended up doing pretty well with the music thing. And I totally recommend everybody to click the link and check it out, because there is so much of an homage to Puerto Rico. And there's even a line that says that, I didn't write it down. Tierra de Clemente, so they're from the land of Roberto Clemente. And going into that, as well as having a lot of local musicians, Wisin de la Ghetto and Eladio Carrion. And Francisco Lindor said, we're just trying to help our culture and push it to be bigger. And there was recently, I didn't count it, a list of all the Puerto Ricans who had made their rosters, and it's really impressive for this year. Kike Hernandez, of course, that's where I saw it. His account retweeted it.
That makes sense. Hey, Blake Snell got signed, and it's not even opening day yet. I mean, technically, he got signed after the fake opening day, though, right? Yeah. So Blake Snell, 31 years old, starting pitcher, Cy Young winner, finally this past Monday, was signed for a 2-year, $62 million contract to the San Francisco Giants with an opt-out after the first year. He really wanted a much bigger contract for a much longer time. There was a piece in the Washington Post talking about this in general, that a lot of older pitchers are not getting offered those because of, you know, all the injuries we were talking about in last week's episode. Teams that can't afford to pay out during an injury year.
Red Sox.
Well, most of them.
Red Sox, I mean, it just happened to
almost
them.
Everybody. Sucks. Almost everybody. So, you know, the Giants are in them. That we can do 2 years at $62 million, but we can't, you know, do a 5 or 6 year contract, assuming you're going to be out for one of those years and be able to pay you. Jordan Montgomery, despite all the rumors, at what is it, like 8:30 on Sunday night, is still not signed. MLB.com is floating all sorts of, this team and this team and this team are all in conversations, but just tweet us, clickbait, man. Tell me when it's real.
Right. Even one of the things that they were floating was a certain team having internal talks, but literally Montgomery and his agent had no idea about it. So it's like, what kind of news story is that? Like, that's some sorts of bullshit.
It's a story in the absence of news, is what that is. Like, we've got column inches, man. So Peter Angelos, longtime owner of the Baltimore Orioles, passed away this past week at the age of 94. He is a very divisive character in the world of baseball and elsewhere, because if I do my pro and con list for him, it's about even. All the pro stuff is what he did on the business side, and all the con stuff is what he did on the baseball side, right? So he, forever, was a lawyer who mainly represented unions and workers. He is the one who won the $1 billion settlement in the asbestos class action suit in the early 90s on behalf of steel and shipyard workers who had health issues because of their exposure to asbestos. Now, he didn't do that for free, right? His cut was a third of the award. So that's $300 million. And that helped fuel his purchase of the Baltimore Orioles for $173 million in 1993. He's not the only owner in that group, so he wasn't responsible for that whole amount. But clearly that was timed very well to provide the capital for him to invest in the baseball team. He also, as an owner, here's the one good thing. During the strike year of 1994, he spoke out against the idea of using scabs. He was not at all interested. That's not okay. We're not doing that. We're not having these, you know, these like little extra, you know, folks just showing up. They're not the workers.
Wasn't he the only owner who did that?
He was.
I think he was the only one.
He was. As it turned out, they didn't, you know, they ended up not using scabs anyway, but he was very vocal about it. On the other hand, case in point, Mike Mussina, who was an Orioles pitcher and then went to the Yankees, the O's were not interested in trying to meet the Yankees' offer because he thought those player salaries are just too high. So somebody who's supporting the shipbuilders and the steel workers doesn't extend that across the board to all workers. He really fought hard against the Nationals starting up in Washington, D.C., because darn it, that's our territory. And the nice way of wording it was he's really feisty. And by feisty, it means he ran through, you know, general managers. He ran like he picked fights with everybody. He really was very demanding. He wanted his own way all the time. There you have it. So the Angelos family, as you know, sold the Orioles to the Rubenstein Group, you know, a couple of weeks ago for $1.725 billion. And there was a clause in there that upon the death of Peter Angelos, they would be able to assume a majority ownership of the O's. Now, I'm not sure what's going to happen because although there's like tacit approval for this purchase, it had the Rubenstein Group hasn't been 100% approved and signed on the bottom line as the new owner. So I'm curious to see if that really did trigger the majority opportunity, considering they weren't there yet when that happened. So more later when we see how that all works out.
Yes, it will have a happy ending with a big bow on it, I am sure, for the Orioles.
Hopefully there will be a different attitude about it's okay to pay players because, they won 101 games last year with the second lowest payroll. I don't advertise the lowest payroll. That just means you're cheap.
Yeah. And these guys are young and they're going to need to be, you know, kept.
Locked down.
And you're going to have to pay money for that part. So I think I've said probably on multiple occasions that I would never, ever, 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 maybe one more ever, root for the Yankees in any way, shape, or form. And I feel like I've been pretty true to that until today. So, historic day for Potty Mouth history. Go Yankees, even though even though that team that I temporarily was an almost fan of did not win at the end of it. And the reason why is because Trevor Bauer, and I hate saying it out loud, I just like, you know, hate putting any more spotlight on this asshole.
Can I pause you right there? And in Potty Mouth's notes, she uses initials.
Yeah.
And I thought she was talking about Tampa Bay. I'm like, what the hell? Oh, because it made no sense in context until I figured out. Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. So that guy, now to be called TB, he's a social media dude, though, and he always has been. He's really been good at sort of spinning that. And there was one point where I thought, well, maybe that would be a good thing for the league in the future, but now not so much. So somehow this guy swung a 5-game deal with the Diablos Rojos of Mexico, which the other games are all going to be between April 11th and May 8th. And he did this because he also got to pitch today against the New York Yankees or some semblance of the New York Yankees. And he wants to be in the spotlight. So he did this just a few weeks ago when he did sort of a surprise pitching thing. Not surprise. I don't know. Maybe it was a surprise. Temporary thing with a indie international league called the Asian Breeze. And I honestly don't know much about the Asian Breeze. besides the fact of them being in Japan and that there was a Dodgers all minor league team that went over and played against them, and he pitched and got a little bit of media attention and apparently did very well against Dodgers minor leaguers, way, way, way minor. So he's continuing to try to keep himself in the spotlight because he wants to get back into MLB. And there is a very vocal, you know, little bit of bro culture out there who's saying, oh, proven innocent, let him back in. He didn't do anything wrong. And no, there's no such thing as proven innocent, to tell you the truth. There is, charges were dropped, and we don't really know what the situation is, except for the shit that he admitted to, which is pretty foul. So just go back to previous podcasts, because I don't even want to go into that. So he got to pitch today. He said, in quote, in lieu of a traditional spring training period, as it's the best way for me to stay ready to pitch, this will help me stay in game shape, and I will be able to join a rotation immediately if or when an MLB offer comes. And he has been very vocal about being willing to take the minimum salary to get back in. So I had predicted with this Diablos Rojos game, so this is the Yankees going to Mexico to play an exhibition game, that we knew it was going to be a split squad because they had other games to play. I thought that they would send Alex Verdugo because he's of Mexican descent and played for Team Mexico. He did not go, interestingly. Jose Trevino, the catcher, did go and got a hit. Giancarlo Stanton went, but he didn't do anything there. He did strike out once, no hits, no walks. Your guy, Volpe, also went and had a hit and a strikeout. And my guy, who I think is going to, a little sneak preview, is going to actually make my team, Oswaldo Cabrera. He's very useful. He's very versatile. And he did pretty well against Trevor Bauer. He got a hit and a walk. Also, the Yankees, besides those three guys, took a couple of other bench guys, Greg Allen, Oscar Gonzalez, and pitcher Loizaga, who's actually Nicaraguan, plus a bunch of minor leaguers, five from AAA, four from AA, one single A plus, and one unclassified, whatever that means. Actually, the Yankees had been to Mexico to play the Diablos before in the year of my birth, which is 1968 for all you podcast archive kind of people who want to keep stats on us. So there have been 27 players in history who have played on both the Diablos Rojos and the New York Yankees. I was a little sad to see my idol and a guy who I have a picture with, Louis Tiant, who I always think of as a Red Sox player. I know he spent some Yankees time. He also spent some time in Mexico. But now Robinson Cano has made it number 27 and 26 between him and Jose Perella, who are both former Yankees who are now on the Diablos Rojos team. And actually, you picked Perella in 2019 when he was with the Padres, and I picked Robinson Cano in 2018 when he was with the Mariners. So despite my, you know, rooting for the Yankees, Trevor Bauer did okay. He did pretty well. He had three scoreless innings. He did what he wanted to do. It wasn't perfect. He did let up four hits, including, luckily, my guy hit one of them, and two walks, including my guy having one of them and had a wild pitch. But he gets the win. There were six other pitchers who finished it for the Diablos Rojos. So they had it scoreless until the bottom of the ninth inning. So their very last pitcher let up three runs by the Yankees. So Robinson Cano for the Diablos Rojos against his former team almost hit for the cycle. He was missing that elusive triple, and I was super rooting for it in the bottom of the ninth. Didn't happen. Your former boyfriend, also Aristides Aquino, who's now in the Diablos Rojos, got an RBI. So I'm a little, you know, concerned to say the least. I still don't think anybody's going to pick up Brower, though. I mean, Mr. Potty Mouth was like, oh, come on, Red Sox, don't do it. Don't do it. You're cheap, but don't do it.
I know. See, this is the fear. It's like, okay, if there are so many teams in need of starting pitchers, mm-hmm. are they desperate enough to like hold their nose and do it? Because his stats are decent. He's just a horrible human being,
right?
And there will be so much upheaval in all of MLB, especially the fan base of whatever team does pick him up. If anyone does, I just want to believe no one will. But
yeah, I mean, and despite the fact of being a sexual abuser before then, he was not the clubhouse guy. Like, he was known for being an asshole in the clubhouse. So, like, who wants that kind of energy? Hopefully not the Red Sox. Although, you know, the one stab in my heart I got when I was checking it out on Twitter was the Leones del Escogido. They're a official fucking account. So this is the team that I have been a longtime fan of the past since we started this podcast, in Lidom in the Dominican Republic. They posted on his account, "Got any plans for winter?"
Oh, dude.
I commented like, no, no, I just got my Leones hat. Do not make me throw it out, because that just sucks.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, I will just segue into more stuff that sucks. Did I say that we're in the police blotter?
I don't think you did. We're in the police blotter.
We're in the police blotter.
We're talking crime of various kinds.
Yep. We've got so much police blotter today. So that was clearly police blotter. Continuing along the police blotter is, and I love The Athletic on many occasions, but I did not like the quotation from this article that labeled this as a shocking breach of etiquette. Mr. Pottymouth, I said it should have been called a dick move. And Mr. Pottymouth said it's, you know, not honoring somebody's dying wishes. You know, I don't know. I think dick move kind of encapsulates it. So the Red Sox, I get to talk about the Red Sox. The Red Sox home opener on April 9th is going to also be a, 20th? Yes, 20th celebration of the 2004 team. That
tricky,
you know,
math. Super tricky math.
Right, that we're the first Red Sox team to win the World Series since 1918. But then with it, and this is the heartstrings pulling, is a tribute to Tim Wakefield, who died this past year of a brain tumor. And for the season, the Red Sox will be wearing a heart-shaped 49 patch for his number 49 on their jerseys. They did this in 2022 for Jerry Remy. They had a number 2 patch, and I thought, oh, that's the kind of energy that they need to make it, and it didn't quite work out that way. So I'm hoping that Wakefield's energy just inspires them a little bit. Wakefield, longtime amazing knuckleballer, right? Classic for the Red Sox from 1995 to 2011. And I did talk about this, I wrote down the episode somewhere, but previously to hear more about Wakefield a couple episodes ago, I don't know, we'll put in the show notes or something. What I didn't add at that point was that he is the third Red Sox pitcher in wins, all-time wins, behind just Cy Young and Roger Clemens, which I thought was an amazing statistic. And he has the Red Sox franchise record for 3,006 innings pitched. Also a nice guy. He won the Clemente Award in 2010. So it's going to be a big celebration in honor of Tim Wakefield, in honor of the 2004 Red Sox, and that includes Curt Schilling, who will not be coming. And I did mention this, there it is, in episode 322, that Curt Schilling, on his podcast, disclosed the cancer battle of Tim Wakefield and his wife, Stacy, against their wishes. They had been dealing with this horrific situation as a family. They have two kids who are teenagers, and they wanted to be private about it, and they were clear about that. And Schilling did not follow their wishes. So that is the aforementioned, I would say, dick move, or The Athletic would say shocking breach of etiquette, really. Or Mr. Pottymouth would say not honoring a friend's dying wishes. Because Wakefield did die 3 days later, on October 1st, and that at that point is when we talked about it on our podcast, because at that point is when it was public knowledge. His wife, Stacy, died on February 28th of pancreatic cancer. So just all that the family has been through, this is going to be a very emotional time, I think, for not only them, but everybody, you know, for them being their family, their kids, but everybody who is close to them in the Red Sox family, and, you know, every player on that team has posted something in tribute to Tim Wakefield. And I'm a huge Jason Veritek fan. That glove into A-Rod's face is a moment that I will cherish forever. But his wife is also hot shit, and she is a great follow on Twitter. And her tweet from September 28th, which is before Wakefield died, but after Schilling fucked up, And I quote, "Fuck you, Kurt Schilling, that wasn't your place." And that's all she said, and it's still there. And I love that she put it out there, and I love that she's standing by it, because, yes, she's absolutely right. And then she posted some appropriate tributes October 3rd, beautiful picture of the four of them saying they're not our baseball friends, they're our family, and a whole lot more. And then after Stacy died, she posted that another picture of them saying they took a part of us with them until next time, sweet friends. So everybody is sort of waiting for what's Schilling going to do with this celebration that's coming on for the 2004 team. And there wasn't a lot of clarity about whether he was invited or not. And then the Red Sox came out and said, oh, of course he's invited. And he declined the invitation, which is probably the best thing that he has ever done. And it was buried on an unrelated post. You know, thank goodness there's journalists out there doing these deep dives on Twitter, so I don't have to. But he had commented somewhere on somebody else's thread and said, let the focus be on 04 and Wakey and Stacy. I'll forever regret what happened, but I cannot in good conscience put myself in a position that would detract from the recognition that the team and the Wakefields deserve. For what it's worth, I wrote a letter to all the people whose opinion matters to me, so the people I care about know. And that's the only part where he's a dick anyway. I mean, and just so many other issues. But I also kind of feel like, all right, you know, the people who matter to you, but you are a public figure. This team is important to millions of fans. I think they also should get a little bit of recognition. I don't know. Not addressing us.
Yeah. I mean, I do believe he should be a little bit more accountable than just, oh, I regret what happened.
Right.
Like, lead with, I was wrong. I should not have done this. Yeah. This was in poor taste. It was against their wishes. I was wrong. Then you get some credit there. I mean, I'm glad that if you did, you know, reach out to others, that's awesome. But yeah, I agree with you. And I'm also wondering how much the Red Sox PR was in on this. Like, they probably had a debate. Do we just not invite him?
Right.
Or do we make this agreement that we're going to invite you, but you cannot come?
Right. I mean, yeah, that's true. Who knows what went on behind closed doors on this?
I bet it was the second. It's like, we're going to invite you because we're going to invite everybody, but you may not come. And so you need to figure out how to word this.
Yeah. Well, and also by him saying that he wrote to people whose opinion matters to me, people I care about, that means you don't care about your fans? Our opinions don't matter to you? Like, apparently not. The asshole. Yeah. The list of reasons why I dislike Kurt Schilling and I'm happy that he didn't get into the Hall of Fame, he's a Nazi memorabilia collector and doesn't understand why that's an issue, especially when he posts pictures of his Nazi memorabilia. Jesus. He's compared.
You know what? I don't want to matter to him.
Right. And he said anti-Muslim statements. He's a fucking ridiculous tweet about the January 6th stuff, transphobic tweets, despite him couching it in an article that I am not homophobic or transphobic. But then he says,
I just play one in public.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, you know what? ESPN picked up on it and fired him.
But, yeah. And that's, I'm good not being somebody that he cares about. I'm good. Yeah, that's fine.
Good point.
That's fine.
All right, enough of that asshole.
Okay, so this has been like the big story that even people who don't care about baseball know about in the police blotter. It's that, oh, my neighbor actually said, you know that betting thing with that Japanese player? That's how not baseball-centric my neighbor is.
Wow.
You know, that guy.
But they know about this. Yes. Knowing that level of baseball is amazing.
But I kind of, like, it tells me a little bit about what my bubble is like. How can you not know the name Shohei Ohtani? But because you don't care, it's fine. You know a lot of things I don't know. It's okay, but it did take me a second. Okay, so you may have heard there's this whole gambling scandal and involving that player. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Shohei Ohtani. The Dodgers signed him recently. You might have heard about that. Just got married. We talked about his wife. Okay, we're talking about less attractive things right now that he may or may not be implicated in. Probably not directly, or he's got super good PR. Not sure. So it's about gambling in sports, which, oh my gosh, you know, we have thoughts and feelings about gambling in sports all the time. And here's the thing about it. So Major League Baseball has rules. All of the major sports leagues have rules about what their employees are allowed to do as far as gambling on sporting events. If, you know, especially if gambling on sports is legal in the state you're in, what is the other layer of rules that applies to you? So for MLB, their rules are this. Players, umpires, officials, and employees are not allowed to bet on baseball, full stop, but they can bet through legal means on any other sport, just not baseball, right? That's very cut and dry. Now, the punishments vary. So if you do, in fact, you fit in that category that you work for Major League Baseball, it doesn't actually say anything about Minor League Baseball. It just says MLB. So I don't know if that's supposed to be inclusive because those are farm teams of MLB. I don't know. If you bet on a game, a baseball game that you're not involved in, right? You don't work for either team and you get caught, you will be suspended for 1 year because you broke the rule, but it probably didn't affect, you know, your work probably had nothing to do with it, right? If you are caught betting on a game that you're a team that you are associated with is involved in, you get Pete Rose. Man, you're out. You are suspended. You are gone. You're gone. There's also, if you bet, even if it's on a different sport, but using an illegal bookmaker, right? Not one of like the ones that are advertising, you know, in a ballpark near you, but an actual illegal bookmaker, it's sort of dealer's choice what your punishment is going to be. The league, the commissioner's office is going to decide kind of on the fly how bad they think it is and what they're going to do about it. Also, wire transfers are illegal in sports betting. Okay, so that's important because there are so many layers to this Ohtani thing, right? So on Wednesday, longtime friend and interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, long before he came to this country, Ippei Mitsuhara, I think is how we pronounce the name. Apologies if I messed that up. Was fired by the Dodgers because it was noted during an investigation into this illegal bookmaker that $4.5 million in wire transfers from an account owned by Shohei Ohtani were received by this illegal bookmaker. Right. And the question is, okay, Shohei did not do this, right? It was the interpreter, but the story has changed 17 different ways since it came out, right? So first, the interpreter says, Shohei agreed to cover my debts. We're friends. I'm in financial trouble. He agreed to cover my debts. And there was a question of, did he know that it was a gambling debt? Or was it some other debt that ran into the millions of dollars? And then the Ohtani and his attorney and his agent said, nope, nothing to do with it. This is theft. He did not approve these payments being made out of his account, even though kind of originally it seemed like the official word from Ohtani's people was that he did. So is that statement now different because they're covering his ass? Or is it different because they just learned more and they were wrong initially? So the other layer is, what did the interpreter bet on, right? Because some of these things are not illegal to bet on as an employee of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He says he never bet on baseball. He's bet on soccer, the NBA, NFL, and college football. Okay, so that could be okay if he was just betting on that. And that was the only issue, right? Again, the story is changing on all of this. On Friday, Major League Baseball opened an investigation to try to sort all of this out because, again, the story changes. There's another layer to it in that as the interpreter, Mitsuhara has control over how information gets presented to Shohei Ohtani. Was he leaving things out? Was he maybe explaining things, you know, couching things a little bit differently than the straight up facts, which is not okay as an interpreter, but was he like, you know, covering himself? He says he wasn't. That's one of the things that they're going to, you know, investigate. Like what did Shohei know? When did he know it? Right. That's the thing. The IRS is investigating again. I think they were initially investigating the bookmaker, which is how this came to be. Law enforcement, as of this time of recording, is not yet involved, although I think MLB has kind of invited that because normally when MLB does an investigation into anything that's a policy, that's a break in their policy, they watch what law enforcement does and then they'll still rule separately based on their own investigation, but they often wait until the law enforcement decisions are made. Definitely that's what happens in domestic abuse cases. I'm guessing that would happen here. Kind of let them do their initial piece of it, and as opposed to trying to interview the same people and all of that. So where we are right now is, what is the actual story? Because we've heard it three or four different ways from the same source, right? And at least two different ways from, you know, Otani's representatives. And what's going to happen because of it? So far, Otani has not been punished because he's been covered. Even, you know, his interpreter said, he's never made a bet. He's against gambling. Never happened. So the question is, did Shohei agree to cover the debts or not? And happily, now we know, because he just made his public statement with his brand new interpreter, who happened to be Kenta Maeda's interpreter. So he actually has experience as a baseball interpreter, which is pretty cool. They seem to have a fairly good rapport during the press conference. So anyhow, the gist of Otani's statement that he just made was he never bet on baseball. His interpreter, his previous interpreter, the guy who's been fired, straight up lied to him. Otani says he was absolutely unaware of the gambling addiction and the theft until, you know, Wednesday night, basically. He said that part of the discrepancy was during this team meeting where the interpreter was talking about what was happening. He was only speaking in English and he was not interpreting for Otani. So until that meeting was over and the two of them met separately and privately, did he actually get caught up? He said he was getting the gist of it. Mm-hmm. But there was no, he said, I did not have a translator on my side during that meeting. So he said, okay, lied to me. Didn't know about any of this until Wednesday night. He contacted his representative right away. And then he and his representative agreed to talk, you know, get the Dodgers and lawyers involved immediately.
Right.
And he said, I'm focusing on the season. I will absolutely cooperate with all investigations, and I'm going to let the authorities handle it. So bottom line, I never bet on baseball. I didn't know this was happening. There was lying. There was stealing. We're investigating. I'm going to go play some ball.
Yeah, and let's just hope he's telling the truth, because if he's not, then there's a big fucking mess.
Right. I mean, he is either truthful or a pretty good actor, because he looked convincing. It looked real. I appreciated that his interpreter had him clarify a couple of things,
right,
which kind of made me feel better given the fact that there was, you know, some piece of my interpreter is not really on my side, even though we've been friends for a very long time.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to have to sit tight now. And for sure, you know, Otani's going to play his game. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening to him right now. But this has got to be weighing on the back of his head, you know, the back of his mind while this is going on.
Right. And just the fact that they're investigating now. You know, this is going to be continued for sure.
Absolutely. We'll keep you updated as we learn new things.
So we have for the past, I guess it would be 15 weeks, 16 plus pitchers, have been announcing the guys that we're picking from every team, our baseball boyfriends, because there's something super cool about them, but they can't all fit on our final lineup. So this is our final lineup. We're going to be creating a fantasy league, and Patty will be giving you all sorts of details afterwards because she's the commish, and so she's the one who's going to be dealing with this. My lineup, drumroll please, for catcher, I have Gabriel Moreno from the D-backs. I'm excited that he had a great rookie season, and he's looking good. First base is, side note here. First base, I'm picking Ryan O'Hearn from the O's. I find it fascinating that both you and I have put on our final rosters O's and Red Sox and Guardians and Yankees. All right, second base, I'm taking Jorge Polanco from the Mariners. He went over there for a reason, and I think he's going to have to make good on that deal. Shortstop, I am amending my previous error by picking Orlando Arcia from Atlanta. Third base, I got another young guy here, Royce Lewis from the Twins, hoping that he has a breakout this year. Outfielder, I'm going back with an old-ish classic with Kevin Kiermaier at Toronto. Also outfield, Jung-Hoo Lee. I'm excited about the Giants signing an international player, so I think that'll be fun. And I had to go with James Outman from the Dodgers because the Dodgers are going to do things this year. Utility, I have Ellie De La Cruz because he's going to be, you know, covering half of the infield for me. Third base, I think, is where he's going to be playing. He can also, according to Yahoo, be a shortstop for the Reds. I'm also for utility for my outfield, Jackson Chaudio. He did make, I was very excited to see that he made the opening day roster. So he's going to be out there with the Brewers for his first year. He's going to do great things. Despite the fact that he is not going to make opening day, I am holding on to Vaughn Grissom on my bench because I am super excited about the opportunity to put a Red Sox player on my roster, and I bet he's going to make it to my starting lineup for second base once he is healthy and 100%. I needed backup for first base, so here's my Guardians pick, Kyle Manzardo. I still like stress to not say Manzardo, and especially while I'm up here in Boston. For my bench, like, this feels a little bit like I'm just robbing the rest of our league here with Jonah Heim. Like, he should be my starting lineup, but I just love Gabriel Moreno. But I'm going to steal Jonah Heim for the rest of you. Catcher for the Rangers, also going to have a knockout year. I have Josh Lowe on my bench from Tampa. And then my little Yankee, Oswaldo Cabrera, just because he is super versatile. He can play anything. So I love having him on my bench because he's not in their starting lineup, but I can stick him in if anybody's out, pretty much. And then pitchers we just talked about last week, so running through them quickly. I've got Phillies and Mariners, Zach Wheeler and Luis Castillo, Phillies and Mariners in order there for my starting pitchers. I got my closes, Jose Alvarado from the Phillies and Andres Munoz from the Mariners. And then I got my, you know, put them in anywhere pitchers, and Aaron Nola from the Phillies, Jeff Hoffman from the Phillies, Brian Wu from the Mariners, and former Nationals O's relief pitcher Austin Voth from the Mariners. That's it. That's Potty Mouth Posse.
All right, so the commish team. As you know, the once and future boyfriend Adley Rutschman is going to be my starting catcher. Why wouldn't he be? Especially after he ended spring training with a 3-run, 460-foot home run. Just to make sure I noticed him, as if that was ever a question. My starting first baseman is going to be Lamonte Wade Jr. from the Giants. Initially, it was going to be Patrick Wisdom, but he's currently day-to-day. So I put Wisdom on the bench, and I'm going with Lamonte right now. I've got Davis Schneider for second base from Toronto, and Brett Beatty from the Mets for third base. I picked Anthony Volpe as my shortstop for the Yankees, absolutely just for my father-in-law. He's a big fan. He's a very big fan. I had a couple other guys that were rated a little more highly, but you know, sometimes you just do the you know, you listen to your heart, not your head. Yep, my outfield, that's for sure. Evan Carter from Texas, Will Brennan from Cleveland, and Jack Suwinski from Pittsburgh. I feel very good about my outfield. My utility guys, I've got MJ Melendez from Kansas City, so I have yet another backup catcher if I need one, and an outfielder right there, and Zach McKinstry from Detroit, who does all the things. On my bench, I've got Max Stassi from the White Sox, the aforementioned Patrick Wisdom from the Cubs, currently on playing day-to-day. We'll see what happens there. Bryson Stott from the Phillies. I initially was going to have as my starting second baseman. I have a little, you know, a little soft spot for him. I kind of went with the numbers on this, but the nice thing is I can swap people out and off the bench as necessary, so we'll see how long that stays. I've got Zach Nito from the Angels, and my last bench warmer, Matsutaka Yoshida from the Red Sox. Not a bad Woo-hoo. Bench. Pretty excited about that. As Potty Mouth mentioned, we went through our pitchers last week, so I'm just going to run through them kind of quick. For starting pitchers, I've got Tyler Glasnow and Corbin Burns. Hilariously, during the last spring training game that Corbin Burns started, Kevin Brown, one of the commentators, said, "Oh yeah, he's in Cy Young form," which cracked me up because it's a spring training game. But you know, I had him immediately knock on all the wood anywhere near me. My any pitchers are Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Grayson Rodriguez, Tyler Wells, and Joe Kelly. And my relief pitchers are Yennier Cano and Evan Phillips again. So I drew from the Orioles and the Dodgers to fill out my pitching flocks. Next week, we're going to make our terrible, terrible predictions. We were going to do that this week, but boy, we had a lot of other things to talk about. So we're putting that off until after opening day.
All right. So, you know, speaking of your pitchers there, did you watch the Breakfast Baseball this past week with the Dodgers and the Padres?
No, actually, I did not.
So I did watch, And I got really used to watching Breakfast Baseball. And I was thinking, I need to do this more. Yamamoto imploded. He was terrible. And so, I mean, I'm hoping that he just got this out of the system, because he is literally the most high-paid player in MLB right now. And he has something like a 45 ERA, because he just, it was a rough, rough, rough day for him. But it was so much fun waking up and watching Breakfast Baseball. And so I had those 2 days, you know, the Dodgers 1-1, the Padres 1-1. There were lots of runs in the second game. I was a little perturbed that I had to stop watching when I got to work both times. But I was thinking, you know.
Wait, were you watching while driving?
No. I watched during breakfast. And then on the way to work, I just had it on audio. I was not watching it. I was listening to it. I got to work, and while I was doing my usual prep work, I also had it on in the background. And then when I got into class, I had to turn it off. And that was usually around the seventh inning. It's a little bit stressful there. But I still feel like I would love to start my day with baseball again. And I, you know, thought back to the days where I did that with CPBL. So I'm really going to try to do this again this year, despite the fact that it seems like the baseball gods, for some reason, are trying to prevent us from doing so. So Darren Kurtz runs the @MyKBO account on Twitter, and he basically said that there is no way to watch the KBO, which is ridiculous after Korea just hosting this series. And everybody's saying, hey, check it out. They have cheerleaders. And oh, wow, look at all the noise. Look at what's going on in the stadium. Maybe we would like to keep watching Korean baseball. But no, he says there's no way. However, I'm wondering if, like CPBL, you just have to have a fake phone number. So Infield Fly Girl gave a little bit of info of instructions from @GoCPBL of how to actually watch CPBL, despite the fact that, you know, you're technically not supposed to. So when I signed on to CPBL today, or what, Hammy TV or whatever it's called, and you get this little box that says, if you're outside of Taiwan, you can't do this. But however, if you have a fake phone number and a VPN, apparently you can make things happen. So check out some links that I'm going to post for how to make that happen if you want to. But I'm definitely trying for CPBL. I'm not sure if I can swing both, despite the fact that KBO's opening day was yesterday, Saturday, and that they sold out across 5 stadiums. They have 10 teams. CPBL has 6 teams this year, which is, last year was 5, which was super awkward with the addition of the TSG Hawks. But everybody knows that I'm a Lions fan, and I'm hoping that they come back and do good things this year. Real quick, corrections department plus Venezuelan update. Ozzie Guillen last year was managing the Tiburones de Guayra, who won the Venezuelan League and won the Serie del Caribe. And I think I said it wrong when I said that he was the first manager to win both a World Series, because he was a White Sox manager winning the World Series, and the Serie del Caribe. He was actually the first Latino to do this. I was very shocked to learn this week that he's the second person to do it. So previously, somebody has already won both the Serie del Caribe and the World Series, and that's Tommy Lasorda. Yes, shocker, who is another one of those wonderful people, horrible people in the same human being, because of him, this is, you know, not acknowledging his gay son. But at the same time, being very beloved to many Dodgers players over the years. So the things that Tommy Lasorda was, is he was manager of the Tigres del Licey in Lidom in 1973. Plus, he won the World Series with that California team. So, you know, just keep on learning.
All right, so the holiday question, that's what I'm naming this part, because it's what happens when that guy that you've been watching in spring training that you really, really want to see start on opening day gets sent down to AAA, doesn't make that final roster cut. And what does that mean? And of course, in my context, my Baltimore Orioles-centric context, that means Jackson Holliday, who had a fantastic spring training, is going to spend some period of time in AAA. The official word is the O's are asking him to play second base, which he's really not done much of before. He's a natural shortstop, but they've decided Gunnar Henderson is the starting shortstop, so they really want Jackson Holliday to get a lot of reps in at second base. He did fine, but they want him to do more fine. So here's what that means moving forward. If you remember, we talked about the changes to the CBA, the competitive bargaining agreement, that says what are the incentives for teams to stop messing with service time, right? So they've got this prospect promotion incentive. And that means if you as a team start your rookies at the beginning of the season so they're able to get a full year of service time, which equals 172 days in, and then they win Rookie of the Year, you as a team get a big reward. You get a big thank you, which is an additional draft pick immediately after the first round to say, you know, to reward your good behavior as a team, right? So either they win Rookie of the Year or if they're placed in the top three for MVP or Cy Young. So for rookies, you know, some rookies start at the end of the previous season, but they still are considered rookies because they haven't gotten their full year of service time in. So if the rookie did not play any games at all last year, that means they have to start ideally opening day or at least debut in the first 2 weeks in order for them to play, to get 172 days of service time before the end of the season. Now, this worked for Corbin and Gunnar last year, your last year rookies of the year, because they both had opening day start. So they got all that time in, which means that Arizona and Baltimore get these bonus picks. They get their rewards for good behavior. So after the first 30 picks, including the first round pick that Arizona is going to get and the first round pick that Baltimore is going to get, Arizona is going to get another pick at slot 31. And Baltimore is going to get another pick at slot 32, right? So that's two picks pretty early to reward them for starting their rookies on time and not screwing with service time. Now, what I didn't know, and I have to thank my coworker for this, who I did not believe when he told me this. So either I forgot or I just didn't know. But in any case, sorry, Ryan, for not believing you, but I looked it up and you're right. For the player who wins Rookie of the Year, no matter when they started the season, they may have started in June and then had a bang up rest of the season, so became Rookie of the Year, they get credited with a full year of service time, which is pretty awesome, right? So they get like that whole, like, it's like you, Potty Mouth, like, to buying back your retirement years, right? Yeah. Like, so you can pay a little extra. That's all awesome. You have to do is win Rookie of the Year and you get all that time. All that time is covered. So that's pretty cool. So I'm hoping this still means Jackson Holliday will come up in the first couple of weeks and maybe I'll get to be there, because clearly I'm not going to be there for opening day because I don't have season tickets to the Baltimore Orioles. Yeah. So, hey, so opening day is this week. So that's what I'm excited about. What are you up to this week?
Woohoo. I'm going to Montreal tomorrow morning and I'm not ready, but, you know, it'll happen. It's cold there. We've got sweaters. I think we're going to be okay. We're going to pack Mr. Potty Mouth and Dad and Stepmom in the car and drive north. Yes.
Excellent.
So that's the excitement. And we'll, you know, we'll be watching opening day from our Airbnb. Has a lovely big TV screen, so we'll be watching that. We'll be watching all the basketballs and the hockeys and looking for sports bars in Montreal. So I think it'll be a chill time, literally.
Oh, that's going to be super fun. Yep.
Yeah. How about you?
So I'll be watching opening day probably from the comfort of my sofa. I'm like 20% of me wants to hop in a car and drive up to Checker Spot to watch opening day from near Camden Yards. But I don't know if that'll make me happy or that'll make me sad, because I'm not all the way at Camden Yards. So I may just, you know, stay home and watch, but I'm still super, super excited about it. So our friends out there, we hope you're excited about opening day, whether you're going to be in the stands or on a sofa or on a bar stool or wherever you're going to watch. I hope your team wins and it's all super great for you. Again, you have another chance to send us your predictions, so our predictions maybe won't be so terrible this year. They'll probably be that terrible. And as always, we're open to the corrections department. Potty Mouth, where can they find us?
You can find us on Twitter or Blue Sky at NCIB Podcast, Facebook and Instagram are No Crying and B-Ball, and we would love for you to join our Patreon friends, patreon.com/No Crying and B-Ball, and throw us a buck a month, and you get our bonus stuff, like what we're going to record in the very near future.
So get your booster, fight the man. It's the right thing to do. And hey, it's opening day. You're going to get some game balls. And be sure to send those to Meredith. And until next week, say goodnight, Potty Mouth.
Goodnight, Potty Mouth.
fuck. But it's so the reason why I keep saying fuck today as it's different from all other days is because
you just made it a religious holiday.
I sure as fuck did.